Welcome back to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us, and you can check out a podcast on theunionedge.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud if you missed a show.
And joining us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio back. So, Buck, welcome back.
It's always great to be with you, ladies. We appreciate participating on the program.
Well, it's great to have you, Buck.
Busy week, huh?
That's an understatement. There is no shortage of things happening in the world around us right now.
Yeah, and it's not all good, is it?
Nope. No,
it's unfortunate that, the events that took place. I keep thinking about watching the young girl that was killed in Virginia, her mother and her parents talk, and what outstanding people they are, you know, to basically acknowledge her goal and to pick up the torch, so to speak, to care for it. And God bless them for that.
It was very unfortunate that it happened the way that it did.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the world is getting a little bit crazy, and we're turned a little bit on our axis right now, and I don't know what we're going
to
do.
Yeah. and the thing that, you know, where we're getting lost here is that, you know, you and I were talking a little bit about it before we went on the air, and I, like you, perhaps don't really like to spend much time thinking about it, but we're kind of forced into it
mm-hmm.
because of the happenings and what's around us and what could happen. I think that the thing that I'm angry about, I think, the most is that, you know, when we throw out comments like everybody's at fault and both sides are at fault, it kind of stirs me the wrong way. And the reason is because I have this feeling, you know, of, if you, in this country, if you walk down the street and you're carrying a Nazi flag and you're chanting Nazi rhetoric and you're trying to, you know, you have no place here. You have no place here. There's, you know, I mean, I know it's, you know, some people like, you know, they like to think about the forgive and forget and things like that, but to me, not only as a human being, but as a veteran, you have no place in this country if that's your ideal. And it's a shame that it's come to that. And what it has ashamed is that when we have our leaders, so to speak, pushing that way. And like I said, it's I don't like to spend a lot of time on it, but you know, we can't get lost in this. The Constitution, the Constitution I look at, it says all men are created equal. We all are the same in God's eyes. And like I said, it's to advocate some group or a time in history where we basically watched the systematic murder of millions of people. It's hard to even, you know, let alone the almost 7 million Jewish people, and plus some. So, like I said, it's just, and I don't think, and that's where we're at here. I think that, you know, you're going to have people demonstrating in the streets, and you're going to have people reacting to that. And like I said, if I would encourage anyone, it's hard to, don't show up at these rallies and let these people spew their garbage and try not to react. I know it's a hard thing to do, because the first inclination that you have is to strike back. But you have to dig deep within and not.
Yeah, of why they're doing it is because they want a reaction out of you.
Right, right. And
yeah, I don't know, though. I mean, I think that they need to be, it needs to be asserted that they are wrong, and that they are a very tiny minority in this country,
mm-hmm.
and despite the fact that Trump seems to support them, they are never going to have the power.
Right. Like I said, it's just a travesty, and like I said, I can't. Well, the thing that troubles me the most is when you have people that are supposedly even thinking people latch onto that. Well, you know, it's everybody's fault.
No, it's not. It is not everyone's fault.
Continue.
And anyone that wants to say that is supporting the Nazis, period.
Right, Right. They're looking for the easy way out. Like I said, and to me, there's no. It's either right or wrong, and to me, it's obviously very wrong. But like I said, you know, we've come to a path in this country, and I do blame Donald Trump, because if you listen to what he spoke of over the last 2 years, and you listen to his rhetoric about the killing of Muslims, and you listen to, you know, even here in Michigan, we have small town city managers, or there was a case of a mayor up in a small town in Kalkaska who got on Facebook and did the most god-awful rhetoric talking about killing all the Muslims, and this is what we need to do, and it was just terrible. And not one word from our governor yet. And he did this way back in June.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying is that it's time for people to put politics aside and stand up and do the right thing. And putting this stuff to bed and basically cutting that cancer out of our society is everybody's job. And like I said, it's just too bad that in all those cases that innocent people usually pay the price.
Yeah. Definitely agree.
But on the other side of that, I think there is some good news. I think, I'd like to talk a little bit today about modernizing the unions. And I think that's what we have to do. You know, it's common knowledge that most of the politically conservative people, they're not really a fan of organized labor. We all know that. You know, and I think it stems back from a time when they thought that labor unions were responsible for damaging the economy, and which, you know, basically led the American companies to move their stores, so to speak, across the pond. And then, in short, the unions basically hurt capitalism. You know, if that's really true capitalism, then it's probably good riddance. But, you know, what I'm seeing is that I don't think that all conservatives are subscribing to that thinking. You know, they look at the workers today and how discontent they are, and most of the workers, we would admit, I guess, are basically angry with reason. You know, they basically have felt that they haven't been respected with the help in America's, you know, the economics. So they basically feel left out. And I think that, and when they do get that way, they get angry. And it's obvious what we saw that in the last election, that there was this profound anger, and they got together and they basically changed the course of history with an election. So we can't discount that. What we have to do is organize labor. Is we have to modernize. And that, what I mean by that is we have to do different things. We can't be this hardcore, set in stone group of rules. You know, organized labor has been using the same method, if you will, for years. And I think that if we just tweak that a little bit, and it's hard because we have labor leaders that are part of a democracy. They're all the membership elects the leaders, and it's hard to do that because sometimes you have to do things that may seem a little unpopular. But you have to do the right thing to engage with those people that are not part of unions. You know, it's not a secret. You know, we're really struggling as part of private sector unions. And what we have to do is we have to you know, we have to do different things. You know, we have to do things like, we can't organize just, say, pipefitters or plumbers. We have to organize everybody, give everybody an opportunity to take part in the process. You know, in Europe, they use things like work councils, which gives the workers a voice in company affairs, you know, without triggering the old fraud or the complex process of creating maybe a formal union. I know this is going to, you know, stand some ears, but You know, in like I said, and also in Germany, they can go and they can organize entire sectors rather than just particular companies, you know, and,
right.
and that basically gives employers and workers incentives to cooperate. So I think that there's if we look at these models that are going on across the pond, so to speak, it will behoove us to be better off if we just learn that we can't be so set in stone about the methods that we use. Because I believe that the workers out there that are all, we talked a little bit earlier about how angry they are and how mad they are, they're just looking for someone, and they're seeing, they will eventually see that unions will be their voice. So we need to give them something to look for. We can't be just so hardcore the way we organize.
Yeah, and Buck, we have to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about some of those ideas from other places and also a little bit about the Fight for 15 and how some of the unions that are really more kind of millennial-based are doing things a little differently here as
exactly.
well.
All right,
we'll be right back. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets on the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
The push to get hate crime laws on the books in Indiana has been vigorously renewed because of the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, that turned deadly. A 32-year-old woman died when a car plowed into a crowd of people, and two state troopers were killed when their chopper went down on the way to last weekend's rally. David Sklar with the Indianapolis Jewish Community Relations Council says although making hate crimes illegal won't stop racism, it does give prosecutors the legal tools they need, and thinks not having laws in place gives the state a black eye.
You know, that last paragraph of every article is, and Indiana is one of only five states in the country without hate crime statute. And as Hoosiers, where we say Indianapolis and Indiana welcomes all, and Hoosier hospitality, there is very much an emotional sense that we want to remove that last paragraph.
Legislation targeting hate crimes has failed to win approval. It would have allowed judges to impose tougher sentences for crimes motivated by race, religion, sex, disability, gender identity, or sexual orientation. Similar measures proposed in past years also failed. Opponents say hate crime laws create special protected classes, which leads to victims of similar crimes being treated differently. Lindsay Mintz is executive director of the council and says there's been an increase in hate crimes directed against Jewish people and Muslims, and adds people are feeling less secure now than they have in decades.
The events that bring it to the surface once again in a very disturbing, violent, unsettling way. But unfortunately, we've been watching the trend over the past several years continue to move upward.
In a report released last year, the Southern Poverty Law Center listed 26 active hate groups in Indiana. That's more than two dozen of the nearly 1,000 organizations across the U.S. meeting the group's criteria for being recognized as a hate group. For Indiana News Service, I'm Veronica Carter.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everyone, let's all stop what we're doing and take a moment. You see? Every moment can be kind of special. But they could be loud moments, goofy moments, dorky moments. It doesn't matter. Because every time dads like us take a moment like that to spend with our kids, well, it's pretty momentous. So let's take a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. We're having lots of fun with you. We hope you're enjoying the show as much as we are. And back with us right now, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's great to be with you, ladies. It's always a pleasure.
It's always a pleasure to have you too, Buck.
So we were talking before the break a little bit about, you know, that unions need to kind of keep up with the times, and that if the face of work is changing and the way we work is changing, there's a lot, you know, the gig economy is a real thing. A lot of people are working for themselves now. There are lots of reasons why the landscape of the way people make money is different now than it was 20 or 30 years ago or 50 years ago, when unions were really at their peak. So, let's talk in a little more detail about some methods that you've seen that in Europe and elsewhere where you think that we could sort of update the way we do things here to be a little bit more inclusive and a little bit more productive and better support the workers.
Well, inclusive, you know, we talked about some of the things that's going on over in Europe. We talked a little bit about Works Council, and there's even a
What is a Works Council, actually? We didn't quite get that far, so tell me what that actually is.
It basically gives workers a voice in the company. Basically, it's not a full-fledged union or what we call a formal union. And basically what it is that they have a group of people from employees and employers sitting at the table, and they work out their differences between working conditions and benefits and all those types of things. You know, and you know, this is interesting too. Over in Denmark and Sweden, they have what they call the Gantt system. It's under which the unions basically administer government-funded unemployment benefits. And they provide a safety net that helps unions to shift the focus from protecting individual jobs to basically maintaining workers. You know, it seems like as leaders sometimes of the movement, we spend a lot of time just protecting jobs, and we're instead of maintaining the workers and maintaining for their overall income security And it just basically turns employers they have more flexibility in hiring and firing. We can't be so rigid on those things that we do. And you know, you asked about, you know, works councils and things like that. You know, they basically bring together, you know, like I said, employee representatives from different countries, actually. It's really what they call a multinational operation, you know, and it basically works. And I would challenge anyone to just go on the website. You can go on the workerparticipation.eu, and it gives a whole breakdown of all the questions you may have and all the things, how it works. But what I'm saying is we have to be willing to do new things. And as you said so eloquently, Angela, that things are different. Workers are different. Jobs are different. And sometimes we get locked into doing as we organize workers or try to help them, we're still doing the same things that we did 50 years ago. And we have to be willing to change because, to me, like I said, there is a lot of people out there that have felt like they've been left behind. And to me, it's an opportunity to bring to them or show them exactly what being part of a organized labor or be covered by a collective bargaining agreement, you know, even at a company level. What that means is it's how workers work together. And that's what I'm saying is we got to change the way we do business.
I definitely agree with that. And we also have to think about the fact that the environments, though there are still some traditional manufacturing environments, mm-hmm. a lot of the environments, such as, per se, the gig economy, it is a very different ballgame than it was once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And we're also dealing with a large group of people who most likely did not come from some sort of union family or background, considering the low numbers of mm-hmm. union membership at this point, that it just basically means statistically there's mm-hmm. a large likelihood that these individuals don't necessarily come from union families or backgrounds. So we right. need to change the way that we're presenting these things to individuals who don't know about unions and may not mm-hmm. be super savvy on the concept of it, or may have heard like the negative rhetoric, just, I mean, any number of reasons. So that we have to just reach out differently, and also the fact that traditional organizing doesn't necessarily work in these non-traditional work environments.
Angela, you mentioned something about the Fight for 15 and the different ways they were doing things. That's of interest. What do you consider how different?
I mean, I guess I don't necessarily know how different it is. It just seems to be a little more young work. It's definitely more young worker driven.
Mm-hmm.
It's a much more public campaign than I think a lot of traditional organizing is.
Okay.
They're really after a lot of public support. I mean, you know, that you heard presidential candidates talking about the Fight for 15. That mm-hmm. stems from, that's a very grassroots union movement. You know, it started with the workers who wanted to make better money. They got, you know, some of the bigger unions, SEIU is one, RWDSU is one, you know, who does the fast food workers? Is that SEIU?
I think yeah. it's a branch of SEIU. Yeah. And I know yeah. UFCW mm-hmm. was involved with
UFCW,
the Walmart workers for
thinking.
A little while, too.
Yeah.
Right.
So it was kind of this thing that started with just in a very traditional, like a sort of traditional but not traditional union way, where like really it was just a bunch of people who wanted to better their working conditions and their pay.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of times I think with like, and like when you mentioned the building trades, some of those more traditional union jobs, you know, you just walk into a shop that's already a union shop, and then that's just like, this mm-hmm. is what we do. And that was very much like, we want to change, this is how we're going to do it. And I think that the main difference is how public it's been and sort of the youthfulness of the whole thing. You know, it's a lot of public demonstrations. It's like, you know, walkouts and strikes, even though they don't formally have a union yet. You know, you get giant like parades basically, mm-hmm. you know, flash mobs, all kind of things that are just like, and it's fun. Like there's some mm-hmm. there's an energy about it that's exciting. So I guess that's what I was getting at. I don't necessarily know the ins and outs of how they're winning things and how they're going mm-hmm. about a lot of it. So I would imagine at the top level there probably is some traditional mm-hmm. union stuff happening, but mm-hmm. I think that's kind of the point, is to sort of marry what we know from the last 50 years, 60 years of organizing. If we can pair that with what young workers know from being in the workplace now and know of what's changing, if we can have those come together, I think we'll be a lot more effective.
Exactly. And, you know, and you said one key word in that discussion of the fact that is that when you go out and when they go out and they peacefully protest for their rights to more money or better benefits or even just to have a say in their working conditions or safety programs, they're having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like the old days when, they, you know, everybody's sitting around trying to figure out how they're going to beat up on someone or whatever. You have to get the basic, they always used to say that in organizing, I'll give you an example. When I started out, I know we're getting short on time, but they used to tell you that, you know, public support was one of the last things that you have to worry about in an organizing drive. And to me, that's completely switched all the way around.
Completely.
You need to have the public aware of what's going on to workers, and that way they can take ownership and say, Jesus, this isn't really what I've been hearing all this time. And like I said, it's just one of the ways that I believe we have to modernize our unions.
And one more thing, I just want to throw one more thing in there. Another reason I think in my last like 10 seconds here that the Fight for 15 is different and it works is because of having attended a lot of their events. It's not just the workers who are involved. It's their families, it's their friends, and it's the local community that they get involved to back them and support them while they educate each other about this is what it's like working here and this is why we need to change it for our dignity and for our rights. And I think that's another reason why it's different and it's working.
And I would encourage everyone to take a look at what they're doing over across the pond in Europe, and because it seems to work.
All right, guys. We are out of time. Buck, I know we could talk to you for hours. But
right.
We will be back with you at 2:30. That was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.